Although God gives parents the primary responsibility of raising kids in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, according to Ephesians chapter 6, the various ministries of the church exist to help parents and families and to supplement that parental task by providing resources, like the children's ministries that we have, and we have several of those, and we're grateful for them. Today, of course, we are shining the spotlight on the Awana Children's Ministry. This past Wednesday was the last night of PCC's 2022-2023 Awana year, and we gave out awards to students who had worked out on and completed Bible work throughout this Awana year. And if you were able to see the summary of Bible verses that have to be memorized in order to earn those awards, many of you would both be impressed and intimidated. That's a lot of hard work. And admittedly, many of these kids, as you could see, may not be able to have immediate recall of those verses. But the truth is that just hearing the first few words triggers the mind where those verses have been held and brings back to our memories those things that we have memorized, that our children have memorized. Over the course of multiple seasons of Awana, diligent students will be reading the entire Bible, much of it more than once, along with memorizing hundreds of verses. I was going to make a message using some of those verses and noting at which grade level each was memorized, but I opted for a different approach. Suffice it to say that we begin working with our Awana children as early as 4 years old to help them learn the Bible. The abbreviated Awana Cubbies verse, and the Cubbies are... what grade level is that? 2 through 4? 3 through 4. 3 and 4 years old. So we're talking about 3 and 4 year olds. We're already teaching them the Word of God. And they memorize this abbreviated version of 1 John 4:10. God loved us and sent His Son. It's a simple statement, but it's a statement that they can wrap their minds around. They can memorize it, and it's just got that flow about it that easily comes back to mind. God loved us and sent His Son, 1 John 4:10. We're teaching them that. In Sparks, and Sparks is first and second grade. What's that? Kindergarten through second grade. That's why I've got her doing all this work. The kindergarten through second grade, we teach them the SPARKS acronym. So we're going to use each of the letters of SPARKS, S-P-A-R-K-S, and we teach them this acronym, each with a verse. So S is for Savior, 1 John 4:14, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. I heard somebody yell it out there. Thank you very much. Savior of the world. That's what they're learning. So they hear us going on that, and immediately it comes to mind. P is for power. Psalm 147, verse 5. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. So they begin to learn and to grasp a little bit about the omnipotence of God, that He is all-powerful, in addition to the fact that He is the Savior. A is for according to the Scriptures. This comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where we have actually a couple of verses that specifically state according to the Scriptures. So in verse 3, he says, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, or in accordance with the Scriptures. So A is telling us that the Word of God is our trustworthy source of information about God. We want to know who God is, we're going to go to the Bible. According to the Scriptures, we have that. R in Sparks is for rose again, or He was raised. And this comes out of that same passage, the next verse actually. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and verse 4, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. So we are teaching the kids about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, even here at K through second grade, so that they can know these basic Bible truths that are so important. The next letter in that acronym is K, and it is for keep, and I'm going to take you to James chapter 2, verse 10. K is for keep. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. So we learn not only that we have a responsibility to keep the law, but also that any violation of the law means that we are guilty. So we're teaching even our very young ones that we are guilty sinners in need of salvation, which of course goes back to S is for Savior. But it also ends up with another S, another form of that same word, and that is saved. S is for saved. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. So we are all sinners, but the Scriptures tell us that we can be saved by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to give you all the stuff from all of the different clubs, but it's important for you to realize that we are in the business of teaching the truth of God's Word to these very young children in order to support the parental responsibility to bring up our children in the training and instruction of the Lord. And our TNT group, which is through 3rd through 6th grade, their key verse is a verse that many of you are going to be familiar with. Okay, how many TNTers do we have here? Stand up. All right, boy, this is a great group here. And here's another over here. All right, your key verse for TNT. Now, keep standing, because you're about to say this together, is Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Let's hear it. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by you kind of petered out on me there a little bit. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one may boast. All right, a little bit of prompting, I understand. I kind of call you out in the middle of everybody, but you did a great job. So by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is not the result of works. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast. So this is a fundamental salvation verse that, once again, even for our third through sixth graders, we want to make sure that you understand this truth. This is such an important truth that there's nothing that we can do that can bring us to a right relationship with God except to trust in Jesus Christ, who's already done it for us. And we get the gift of salvation. Each week in Awana's opening session, we recite the pledge to the Awana flag. Now, surely all of our Awana peoples can help with that. So every Awana leader, every Awana clubber, stand up. And let's pretend that we've got our Awana flag here in front of us, which we don't have right now. But we can recite this pledge for you. And I'd like to hear it loud enough so that those who are around you can understand what they're saying. I pledge allegiance to the Awana flag, which stands for the Awana Club, whose goal is to reach boys and girls with the gospel of Christ and train them to serve their faith. Thank you. You may be seated. I'll repeat that for those of you who weren't sitting close enough to hear it all. I pledge allegiance to the Awana flag, which stands for the Awana clubs, whose goal is to reach boys and girls with the gospel of Christ and train them to serve him. I believe that this goal expressed in this particular pledge provides a great launch pad for sharing and reviewing our Awana ministry with you today. So let me give you a little bit more. Let me tell you something that I think that is important, some things that I think is important for you to know about Awana. First, Awana is a tool to reach boys and girls for Christ. It's what our pledge says. It is a tool to reach boys and girls for Christ. And the gospel is central to our Awana Club. We do play games, and the kids look forward to the games. We've got activities. They're looking forward to the activities. But central to everything we do is the gospel message. The gospel means, what does gospel mean, by the way? Good news, thank you. It means good news. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." The gospel is good news. We are proclaiming that. In Luke chapter 4, in Luke chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." So we can see that Jesus was committed to proclaiming the good news. Obviously, he was at the heart of the good news, because there is no good news without him. But even at this point, he was proclaiming the good news that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. After his crucifixion, burial, and resurrection, the good news got even better, as it were. Because now we understand the rest of the story. Now, as a result of what happened on the cross and in the empty tomb, we are well aware that Jesus is the reason for the good news. Apart from him, we don't have good news. We have bad news, and that is that all of us are sinners and that none of us can live according to what the Bible says. That's bad news, because now we're all in trouble. The good news is that Jesus Christ came to be our Savior, and he came for our salvation. According to Romans 1:16, maybe I've got one of our clubbers ready to quote that one. I don't see any hands up. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, "I am not ashamed." Thank you. "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." So we are emphasizing the gospel message. The gospel is central to every Awana Club. And by the way, when I say every Awana Club, I do mean universally all the places that we have Awana. But you might hear us talk about Awana Clubs. We consider each of the units within our group a separate club. So we have the Cubbies Club. We have the Sparks Club, the TNT Club, the Trek Club, the Journey Club. It represents the different age groups, and then we all get together for opening and closing assemblies. But for each of these clubs, the gospel is absolutely central. And the good news is that Jesus came to save sinners, which is what we see written in the scriptures in 1 Timothy 1:15. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. We are the sinners in need of salvation. Every one of these boys and girls are sinners in need of salvation. Everyone in the homes of these boys and girls, and all of us as leaders, we are all sinners in need of salvation. We, of course, heard verses 16 and 17 from John chapter 3 earlier. Let me read those again along with verse 18. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." Every week at Awana, the gospel is proclaimed in various ways. It's proclaimed in various ways in each of the sections that the kids are working through their handbooks. It's proclaimed in the prayers that we pray and the verses that these children are memorizing. The gospel is central throughout. And I need you to understand that, because we don't just gather on Wednesday nights to have a good time for the kids, just for them to have fun. We want them to have fun. But we want them to understand the most important truth that they will ever understand, and that is that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and we must put our faith in him. So Awana is a tool to reach boys and girls for Christ. But let me expand that. Awana is a tool to reach families for Christ. When someone in a family gets saved, God can use that to bring Jesus to others in the family. And I want to give you a couple of biblical examples of that. So I'm going to go to Mark. Mark chapter 5. In this context, Jesus has healed a man who was demon-possessed. And the man was eager to go with Jesus wherever Jesus went. And of course, typically that would be a good thing. In this particular case, Jesus told the man, verse 19, go home and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Go home and tell your family about me. Go home and tell your neighbors, your friends. Excuse me. So it's a tool for reaching families for Christ, because even as we are sharing the gospel with these children and they are memorizing their verses, we are expecting that to have an impact on their home, on their siblings, on their parents, on their grandparents. We do want children to be saved, but we want entire families to come to know Jesus. In Acts chapter 11, verse 14, but the context is that an angel appeared to a man named Cornelius and told him to go see the apostle Peter. And God had already been setting this up because he was giving Peter a vision about what was going to happen. And now he's giving Cornelius a little bit of a hint about what's going to happen. And the angel said to Cornelius, according to Acts 11:14, that Peter will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household. In other words, this message was not just for Cornelius. It was for everybody in Cornelius's family. And the angel wanted to make sure he understood, it's not just about you. Even though it is about you, fundamentally, it begins with you. But it's not just about you. It is about your whole household, your whole family. A couple of pages later, in Acts chapter 16, when an angel delivered Paul and Silas from imprisonment, we see an entire family coming to know Jesus as a result of that. Acts chapter 16, verse 30. The Philippian jailer brought the apostles out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And then verse 34, then he brought them up into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. An entire household is impacted. Who did this include? Was it just the Philippian jailer and his wife and his kids? It certainly appears that that would be true. But of course, it was not unusual in this day and age for several generations to be together. It may have included his parents, maybe his grandparents. We don't know who all was impacted by this, but we do know that this whole household came to know Jesus Christ personally as Savior as a result of one person understanding and responding to the gospel. So we are striving to make sure that every child that is a part of Awana understands and embraces the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ came to save that person. And when they get saved, then our prayer is that this will in turn impact mom, dad, siblings, grandparents, and beyond. There are people in this church right now who were saved because they had children in Awana. Praise God for that. That's one of the benefits of this ministry. We see the kingdom of God expanding. We see the church growing. Thirdly, Awana is a tool to train Christians to live for Christ. We saw that in our pledge, which stands for the Awana Clubs, whose goal is to reach boys and girls with the gospel of Christ and to train them to serve Him. So Awana is a tool to train Christians to live for Christ. Back in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, Peter says, "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation." God does want us to come to know Him as Savior and Lord, but He wants us to grow beyond that. Becoming a Christian is just the beginning. It is followed by growth. Just as each of us is born as a child, and then we grow up in stages until we finally reach adulthood. The same is true with regards to each of us in Christ. Just a couple of pages later in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, he says, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So ideally, we would see these little ones, by God's grace, having their eyes open, be able to comprehend the gospel at a very young age, perhaps sometimes even as young as Cubby's age, but certainly Spark's age, or maybe a little bit later. But we would love to see them come to know Jesus Christ personally, and then we can proceed with growth. Help them to grow in their relationship with God, to grow in their knowledge, and to live the life that God has called them to live. Awana uses the Bible to teach boys and girls how to live the Christian life. Now, no one gets to heaven by living a good life. And if you've been here any amount of time at all, you've heard that repeated almost infinitely from the pulpit here, from this platform, and because this is such a fundamental truth. You cannot get to heaven by living a good life. But Christians should definitely live a life that reflects their faith in Jesus Christ and their desire to please Him. That's not what gets us to heaven, for by grace are you saved through faith, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, as we quoted a moment ago. It is only by God's grace, not a result of our works. But now that we are saved, we should live in a way that reflects that salvation. Back in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul says, "Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ." Now, that doesn't mean that if you live a good enough life, then you're worthy to be saved. What he is saying is, you who have already accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, be sure the way you live is consistent with the good news that Jesus Christ has saved you. And this is what we are attempting to communicate to boys and girls in our Awana Club. Salvation occurs at the moment of genuine faith in Jesus Christ. But successful Christian living requires a lifelong commitment to learning how to walk as Jesus walked, which is what we read in 1 John 2:6. Whoever says he abides in Jesus ought to walk in the same way that he walked. We are communicating this to our Awana Clubbers. You need to live as Jesus instructed us to live. And that includes certain characteristics of life. Back in Galatians, this is another passage that many of you would probably be able to quote. I'll read a few extra verses. But back in Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 19, we read, "Now the works of the flesh," that is someone who has not received Christ, "the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality." And by the way, just right off the bat, these first three things, this is what, unfortunately, many people want to teach children today. They want to teach them to be sexually immoral, impure, sensual. And it's tragic beyond words. It's absolutely evil. It is from hell that these things are being taught. So we need to communicate to our children what is right and good, and that includes holding a light up to what is evil, saying, don't do this. So again, the works of the flesh are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, verse 22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We are going to spend the rest of our lives learning to live like that. That's what God wants us to do. We are attempting with our Awana Clubbers and all of our children's ministries for that matter to communicate to them what it means to live that kind of life and to provide them with the tools that they need in order to do it. Awana is a multi-year program designed to take a child from the very first step of salvation, of faith, all the way to a well-informed understanding and practice of living the Christian life in your personal life. Not all the Awana clubs around our country have all of the clubs as a part of their particular group. Many of them stop after sixth grade because it takes a kind of a different sort of ministry in some ways to continue on with the junior hires. And even some churches who will continue with the junior hires, the Trek Club, stop before they get to Journey because there's a lot of conflicts with Journey. They got a lot of scheduling issues. Our church has chosen to continue to take this Awana program all the way through 12th grade. That includes our Journey. And Kim and I have the privilege of leading our Journey Club, our high schoolers. But we read back in 2 Peter again, this time chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. From the earliest days of faith, as little children, if they trust in Jesus at that point, all the way through the end of the Awana ministry years, which is 12th grade, our intent is to both show them how to be saved and help them know how to live the Christian life according to God's Word. And then lastly, Awana is a tool to help Christians do the works of service. God doesn't save people just so that they can have a life insurance policy, just to be sure they're not going to hell. He saves us through Jesus Christ, and then he expects us to serve him. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So we serve God by serving others. As Awana students get older and move into our older clubs, they're being taught that God expects them to be involved in the lives of others for the purpose of expanding the kingdom of God. I'll take you back to Ephesians chapter 4 again. This is a passage that Roy has been focusing on recently in some of the lessons he's been teaching us. Ephesians 4, verse 11 and following, the Lord gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, that is Christ. God wants us to be involved with others. Get saved, absolutely. Grow in your knowledge, yes. And then turn around and use what you have learned to serve others. Use the gifts that God has given you to serve others. This is what maturity looks like. This is what every one of us as Christians who have been Christians for a while should actively be doing. We're finding ways to expand the kingdom of God by serving God through serving others. At PCC, we are blessed to have, I told you earlier, we have about 20% that were standing up here based on the size of our club. But within that club, we have approximately 20% of our Awana workforce, young adults who have come through the Awana ranks and have come back to serve as Awana leaders. If you are one of those, would you stand up right now? If you have grown up in Awana and now you're back serving again, thank you. So only two here right now, but we are going to have more, I know that. So again, like 20%, so we got a lot who have done that. And that is a blessing. And that's based on our Awana leaders. So 20% of our Awana leaders have come up through that. The Apostle John wrote in 2 John verse 4, "I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father." Now, working in Awana isn't the only way that we can see some of our church family walking in the truth. But I would emphasize that it is definitely a way that we can see some of our children walking in the truth. Now, those of us who have been around here a while can remember when, you know, these two were very little, and we can see young Colton when he was much, much shorter, running around, you know, doing his thing on Awana night, thinking, "This kid is driving me nuts, and when are we ever going to be able to get him under control?" Not that he doesn't still drive me nuts, but he's here working now, actively serving every time we have Awana, and I praise God for that. This is what it means to be following the Lord, and not only in your personal life, but also in ministry life. And so as long as he is able to do that, when God gives him that opportunity, we are grateful for that. We're thankful for Robin and her service. She's back here helping us. I don't know how long that's going to take. You're graduated from college when? Yesterday, congratulations. And somebody else back here. Yeah, you graduated yesterday as well? Congratulations. Yeah, praise God for that. So I don't know what that means in terms of service for Awana, and that's between you and the Lord. But I just want to say thank you. Thank you who have come back and helped serve. This is a important ministry, and God is using it for his purposes, and I'm grateful for that. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters who are here today. I thank you especially for the many who help make Awana an effective ministry on a day-in, day-out basis, week-in, week-out. We're thankful, Lord, that we get a bit of a break during the summer, and we'll look forward to starting up again in the fall and trust that you'll provide the leaders that we need, whether we've got some new leaders, some who may have to step away, or some who may be coming on for a first time. We trust, Lord, that as we serve you in this capacity, that your blessings will continue on our Awana ministry. I thank you so much for these who are willing to serve in this capacity. And what a blessing they are to us. I thank you for the children that are being served and for the families, even those that are represented here today. And I pray, Lord, that they might continue to seek you And I pray that these little ones, many of them were up here earlier reciting verses and singing songs with us, I pray that those who have not yet made a personal commitment to Christ might do so very soon. And I pray that those who have already received Christ would continue to seek you and to grow in their relationship with you. And I know, Lord, that as they do that, that you will guide them to exactly where they need to serve. And we know that Awana isn't the only way that a person can serve you. There are many different ways based on our different gifts, but I do pray that you'd continue to provide the leaders that we need in this ministry. Thank you that we as a church family can rejoice together in this ministry today. And I pray that you would keep us safe as we go from here and that you would bless all of our mothers on this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Now grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you. Amen.